Chapter 22. Nico raised his hand to the bull man. Manitis, meet Will, Screech, Bling, and His Majesty. Everyone else, this is Manitis. Manitis grabbed his horns and started jumping up and down in excitement.
Oh, the gods definitely answered my prayers today. I've been waiting ages for a demigod to show up, and now I actually get Nico D'Angelo.
Will's jaw dropped open. Nico reached over and gently shut it. The troglodytes, however, didn't seem fazed at all.
Greetings, Manitis, said Screech Bling proudly. We have not actually met before, but I am Screech Bling, the CEO of the troglodytes at your shriek service, and this is my comrade, His Majesty.
His Majesty bowed, doffing their cheese hat with great finesse.
Wow, four people who can help me.
Manitis clapped his beefy hands. This is the best day of my life.
I'm so lost, said Will.
Who are you?
Manitis flared his bovine nostrils.
Manitis? No. Has Nico told you nothing of me?
I've been kind of busy, said Nico sheepishly. You know, between finding my half-sister down here and falling into Tartarus and then all those pesky Roman emperors, you know, all that.
Yes, yes, I did hear such rumblings from Hades, Manitis said. But surely you told your friend here about me at some point.
Will grimaced and shook his head. Well, I will try not to be mortally offended, said Manitis. Then he offered his hand to Will.
I work for Nico's father. I tend to his cattle and oversee the farm.
Tell me, said Will, taking Manitis' hand. What is the farm for?
Manitis laughed. Oh, you're silly. Surely you know.
Will shook his head again. Manitis glared at Nico.
Do you not tell him anything?
Sometimes, Nico said. And then he thought, sometimes I'm afraid to tell him more.
Manitis grunted.
Well, let me make it easy for you. What's your name?
Will Solace.
Manitis narrowed his eyes. Child of Apollo.
Yep. Don't know what you are doing down here, Nightlight.
Hey, said Will, scowling.
Manitis swept his hand to indicate the landscape behind him.
All that you see exists so the underworld can nourish its helpers and keep the machinery moving. There are many living beings who work for Hades, either in the fields or in the palace,
or in Elysium.
They must be fed. Did you think ambrosia and nectar come from nothing?
Of course not, said Will. I help manage the infirmary at Camp Half-Blood.
It doesn't just exist, said Manitis. It is grown.
I'm sure your satyrs or dryads up in
Camp Half-Blood manage your fields and orchards.
Manitis has been working for my father since, well, for a very, very long time, said Nico. He's really good with the cattle.
The bull man waved off the comment.
Oh, stop, he said,
and then in a lower voice.
But it's true. I can show you around if you'd like.
Nico squirmed.
Manitis, it's good to see you, but we're on a quest, so...
Not a quest? How exciting. Well then, let me lay down the red carpet for you.
Nico watched in discomfort as Manitis sprawled on the ground.
Go ahead, oh great demigods, he said.
Please don't do that,
said Nico.
Do you get it? I'm a red carpet.
I got that.
Because I'm red.
Nico sighed.
Please, stand up, Manitis.
The bullman did, then dusted himself off.
The world doesn't come to a standstill just because you're demigods.
No one said it did, said Nico. We just need to pass through for a...
He looked down at Screech Bling.
For the shortcut, said the troglodyte.
The shortcut? Manitis snorted. The shortcut to where?
Before Nico could reply, His Majesty blurted out,
Oh, they're going to Tartarus.
The Trog's eyes glowed with admiration.
Tartarus?
Manitis burst into laughter. He doubled over, clutching at his ripped abs.
Oh, this is perfect. Thank you so much, my young troglodyte. You've given me exactly what I need.
What does that mean? Asked Will.
Maniti snapped back to attention.
It means I will absolutely tell Hades that you two are traipsing around his realm without his knowledge. He won't be too thrilled about that, will he, Nico?
Nico could feel the sweat breaking out on his forehead. Don't do that, Manitis, you can't.
I can't, Manitis shrugged. I could call on him right now, or even write him a letter.
Please, he can't know.
Dear Hades, how are you?
Said Manitis while he mimed writing.
Hope you're doing swell. Your cows are lovely, and the nectar reserves are overflowing this season.
By the way, your son brought another demigod into your realm, a child of Apollo, no less, and they're totally walking into Tartarus.
Yes, that's right.
The place you expressly forbade anyone else to enter. Love you, signed your faithful and loyal cattle driver, Manitis.
To cap off the performance, the bull demon pretended to fold up the letter, stuff it in an envelope, and seal it with a kiss. Are you done? Nico asked.
Maybe, Manitis said. Depends on what you're willing to offer me not to tell your father.
Nico tried not to groan. What is it you want this time, Manitis?
Me? You're asking me? He feigned surprise. Well, that's so sweet of you to think of my needs.
This demon is very dramatic, noted Screech Bling.
Every day of every year of the last 2,700 years, said Manitis. Get used to it.
Nico pressed his lips together. Okay, let's make the usual unfair trade. We complete some inane task for you. You let us pass without interference.
Manitis giggled, which was a strange sound coming from a giant bullheaded man. Isn't that what heroes are for, Nico? You're always out there pointlessly retrieving items for some misguided moral goal. Why can't I take advantage of it?
What do you want?
Nico said sharply.
Fruit, he said.
Specifically, fruit from Persephone's garden.
Nico's heart dropped to the bottom of his stomach. You know that's not possible.
And you know it's not possible for you to enter Tartarus, said Manitis. So we're at an impasse already.
Wouldn't you like to resolve this?
Screech Bling folded his arms. You ask too much, Bullman Farmer. The Troglodytes would never visit Persephone's garden.
Never, agreed His Majesty, despite how shiny it is.
Screech Bling gazed dreamily into the distance.
Yes, so very shiny.
Hold on, said Will. Would someone explain to me why this is a big deal?
Yes, Nico.
Manitis' voice dripped with mock sweetness.
Why don't you explain it?
Nico dug his fingernails into his palm. My stepmother's garden. There's no place like it in existence. It's beautiful, and if I'm being honest, it's one of my favorite spots. I'm not hearing the problem, Will said. If you know it so well, why can't we just visit and ask Persephone not to tell her husband?
Because she's not going to let me take anything from her garden. No one is allowed to do that. It's full of some of the rarest plants ever. There are bushes of diamonds, Will, trees with flowering rubies, and I'm pretty sure she'll know the moment we take something, which means she'll tell Hades immediately after that. Then, we're toast.
You don't have many options, said Manitis. You can take the chance and maybe not get caught. Or you can refuse to help me, and you will get caught.
Why? Said Nico. Why are you always asking things of others? Do you have a collection of stuff people have retrieved for you?
No,
said Manitis, and this time his offense didn't seem fake.
No, it's for.
Well, I like to share.
Share? Said Will. With whom?
With my boyfriend, he blurted out. Fine, I said it. Are you happy now?
Nico and Will looked at each other, shocked. Oh, so you have a problem with a male demon being in a relationship with a male giant? Manitis scraped the ground with his human foot like he was going to charge them.
What? Said Nico. No, it's just...
I expected better of you, I guess. Said Manitis.
It seems so. Manitis, calm down, Nico interrupted. I'm gay.
And I'm bisexual, Will pointed to Nico.
He's literally my boyfriend.
Oh, said Manites. Well, sorry. I get a little defensive sometimes.
That's okay, said Will. But back up the boyfriend train a second. You said a giant?
Yes, said Manites, proudly puffing up his chest. Although he's not a giant, mind you. He's more my size. His name is Jirian, and we've been going steady for a while now.
Nico immediately started coughing so hard that Will pounded his palm on Nico's back. Jirian? Nico demanded. Black hair, tiny little mustache, three bodies?
That's him, said Manites dreamily.
You know him? He tied me and my friends up. He tried to kill Percy Jackson.
That was his old life, claimed Manites, ever since the doors of death were closed. Well, he's been different.
Different how? Demanded Nico. Because he was awful. He helped Kronos. All he cared about was money.
And now he doesn't, said Manites. Which is why I want to give him something nice. He doesn't have anything anymore. He lost his ranch business. He started reevaluating his life, and I'm so proud of his growth. If I can get him just one pretty thing. Well, gift-giving is my love language, he said bashfully. But I never have a chance to find gifts. I'm always working here. Will nodded.
That actually sounds really sweet.
Sweet? Nico scoffed. You didn't meet Jirian. You don't know what he's like.
Was like, said Manites. Was, because now you don't know what he is like.
Nico was left speechless. Maybe we should give him a chance, said Will. We both know people who were once terrible and then turned things around, like Ethan or Luke. When he put it that way, Nico had to concede the point. And wasn't that the whole purpose behind this quest after all? They were rescuing someone who had dared to be different.
Fine, he said. Manites, we'll find a way to get you that fruit, as long as you promise to let us pass afterward.
Manites put his hand on his red chest. I swear on the Styx.
That's good enough for me, said Will. Me too, Nico decided. A flurry of hissing and clicking passed between Screech Bling and His Majesty.
We cannot go with you, demigods, Screech Bling announced. It is too dangerous, even for brave troglodytes. If we were caught, our whole people might face the wrath of Hades. Shiny though the garden may be, His Majesty added dreamily.
I understand, Nico said. You've done plenty already. It'll be difficult enough for just two of us to sneak into the garden.
Which brings me to another question, Will said, his legs wobbling. Isn't Persephone's garden next to Hades' palace? Do we have to walk all the way back there?
Stop fretting and follow me, said Manites. I have a solution.
The bull man led the group down the hill, through pastures filled with black cattle that seemed utterly uninterested in them. Nico tried to dampen his racing thoughts, but he was drowning in worries about how to avoid his father's detection, and Persephone's. As they passed through the orchards, Manites patted one of the enormous, thick-trunked trees.
Have any of you ever had nectar straight from the source?
Will stared at one of the spirits who was sticking a spigot into a trunk. Is that what these ghosts are harvesting?
Their souls, first of all, said Manites. Sometimes souls in the fields of punishment want to work off the horrible things they did in the mortal world, so Hades allows them to come here, which is perfect for me, since handling too much nectar at once is toxic.
Wow, said Nico. I knew about your cattle, but I guess I never asked Father what else you did on this farm.
Will nodded. How did no one at Camp Half-Blood ever teach us about this?
A lot of gods and demigods just take it for granted, said Manites. Nectar and ambrosia are so plentiful that most folks don't ask where they come from.
I think we should have a conversation with Chiron when we get back, said Will. That warmed Nico's heart. To their left, spirit workers were pulling ambrosia chunks from the ground like giant tubers and piling them in wheelbarrows. Manites waved at them as he brought the group to a hitching post where half a dozen smoky jet black donkeys were tied up.
Donkeys?
said Nico. Aren't they pretty slow?
Manitis laughed. You could walk instead.
Donkeys sound great, said Will quickly. Please, Nico.
Nico noticed the dark circles under Will's eyes. He looked exhausted. It was the reminder he needed that he couldn't ask too much of Will in a place like this. It wouldn't be fair.
Demonic donkeys it is, said Nico.
Manitis threw saddles on two of the donkeys and then stepped aside. This is how we deliver ambrosia and nectar to the mortal world. As far as I'm concerned, there's no better way to travel.
Will narrowed his eyes. You mean these things deliver all our nectar and ambrosia?
No, admitted the bull demon. Like I said before, I'm pretty sure the dryads manage the grove at Camp Halfblood, but there are many customers who require it elsewhere, and this is where it comes from.
With a little help from Nico, Will climbed onto the back of a donkey, and then Nico leaped up onto his. I'm still not sure about this, he said. My father is, well, he's very perceptive. I don't know how we're going to avoid his notice.
You're creative, said Manitis. You know your father and the palace grounds.
If anyone can do this, it's you, said Will. His eyes sparkled with that very Will-like sincerity that Nico loved. He was constantly amazed how powerful it felt to have someone by his side who believed in him. Nico thought for a moment. We'll have to approach from the north. There's hardly ever any activity on that side of Erebos, so the walls aren't well maintained. If we can find a break in the defenses, we could ride right up to my father's palace.
Manitis nodded. An excellent idea.
Then, if we can sneak into the garden... I have an idea for the perfect fruit.
Don't tell me! Manitis cupped his hands over his ears. It must be a surprise.
Nico put up his palms. Okay, okay. We're just happy to help you, said Will.
Nico still wasn't sure about that, but they had to do it if they were going to reach Tartarus before it was too late, for Bob, but also for Will.
Manitis laid his hands on the heads of the respective donkeys, then murmured something to them in ancient Greek. When he was done, he stepped aside.
They'll bring you right back when you're done.
The bullman turned and regarded the troglodytes.
As for you, my small friends, you are welcome to stay with me while you wait.
Screech Bling's eyes gleamed.
We shall do so. We have much to learn from one another.
Perhaps a trade could be arranged,
His Majesty added.
The lizards and grubs in your farmlands in exchange for...
They touched their cheese wedge hat.
Fashionable haberdashery?
Manitis fluttered his long bull eyelashes.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Before Nico could even process the idea of Manitis wearing a stack of trog hats, their donkeys rocketed forward.
Will let loose a scream of both terror and joy as he clung to his donkey's neck. He repeated the same phrase over and over. Oh my gods, oh my gods, oh my gods!
And the two of them zipped over the land of the dead on the backs of demonic donkeys.
Chapter 23 When they dismounted near the gates of Hades' palace, Will was certain he would never experience anything so thrilling ever again. Sure, his muscles were sore, his breath was shallower than usual, and his mind felt like it was being mixed in a blender. But if he had to conserve his energy, there were worse ways than riding a demonic donkey. Their steeds had zipped across the underworld without a single incident, easily evading packs of hellhounds, skirting the sentried towers of Erebos at just the right moments to avoid detection, and finally bringing them through a break in the walls, straight up to the palace perimeter. If they hadn't been trying to sneak in, Will would have let loose a joyful whoop and asked the donkeys to do it all over again. However, as they crept closer to the palace gates, a chill passed through him. It wasn't just the imposing obsidian doors that disturbed him. It was what was carved into them. The intricate engravings were all death tableau, planes dropping bombs on crowds of people, enormous mushroom clouds etched in a distant horizon. Lines of officers in riot gear, their batons raised against panicking masses. Will wondered if these depicted historical events, or if they were prophecies of the future.
Were they meant to be a commentary on the circular nature of death?
Will didn't really want to know the answer. Fortunately, Nico didn't lead him through the gates. That would have been unwise, given the half-dozen zombie guards in ancient Greek armor. Instead, Will followed him along the northern wall, through a gap in a thicket of briars, to a small hidden gate of Stygian iron. Nico rummaged through his coat until he found a finger bone. Will still wasn't used to the fact that his boyfriend kept random bits of human bone in his pockets for emergencies, but he guessed everyone needed a hobby. Nico shaped the bone into a key, a literal skeleton key, and quietly unlocked the gate. Will was about to peek through when Nico held out a hand to stop him. "Wait," he mouthed. Nico twisted his body, stole a quick glance inside, then pressed his back to the wall. "You have a problem," he whispered. "She's here." Will's pulse quickened. He'd been hoping they'd finally have some luck. Maybe Persephone would be traipsing around the upper world painting daisies or something. But if she was here, how are they supposed to get Menites any fruit? Nico held a finger to his lips. He peeked through the gateway again, then gestured to Will that it was safe to look. When Will saw the courtyard, he suppressed a gasp. The garden glowed like a city at night. Every plant sparkled or glittered. One bush branched upward with stems like silvery bottle brushes. A glass cactus bloomed with ruby red flowers. Sapphires and diamonds formed a gem-paved path that wove its way through the flower beds. Each plant was the most beautiful thing Will had ever seen, until he gazed at the one next to it. But none of them were as beautiful as the woman tending the azure roses in the center of the garden. Persephone's peach-colored dress shimmered in the light, the fabric stitched with tiny green vines that flowed and spiraled down her sleeves. Her dark brown hair framed a face so soft and gentle that the roses seemed to bend toward her, aching for contact. The stories about Persephone's beauty did not do her justice. As the goddess drifted deeper into her garden, Will finally managed to peel himself away and turn back to Nico.
"You okay?"
whispered Nico.
"I know it's hard to see her for the first time." "She's the most gorgeous person I've ever seen,"
he said in awe. "Calm down, Nightlight."
"What? I'm not wrong."
"I didn't say you were." He raised an eyebrow. "Are you jealous that I find her attractive?" Nico wrinkled up his face.
"Ew, no, Will. I'm trying not to be weirded out because that's my stepmother."
"Oh," said Will.
"Right, sorry. But yes, you're correct.
She's stunning. I guess I'm just used to it by now." Will shook his head.
"We're told of her beauty, but that's nothing compared to actually seeing it." Okay, enough of your bisexual chaos for the moment," said Nico. "We have to figure out how to get past her and pick some fruit without getting caught."
Will thought for a moment.
"Can't we just dart in and grab something near the gate?"
Nico shook his head.
"All the good fruit-bearing plants are in the center of the garden. In fact, I'm starting to wonder, what if Menites is setting us up to fail?"
"I was worrying about that too," Will admitted.
"But I think he really wants that fruit. If we're the only way he can get it, why set us up for failure?"
Nico sucked in a deep breath.
"Okay, we'll just be as careful as we can. Get in, get the fruit, then get out. Hopefully Persephone stays on the far end of the garden for a while. Keep close to me, okay?"
Will nodded, and the two of them tiptoed through the gateway. They veered to the right, crouching behind a thick row of hedges with silver leaves. Will, still completely under the spell of the place, reached out and touched one.
"This is incredible," he whispered. "How does all of this grow here without sunlight?"
Nico gave Will a familiar look, something between annoyance and concern.
"It's just like the trees Menites showed us," Nico said. "Life finds a way to persist, even in the land of the dead."
A thought came to Will.
"It's kind of like you then."
Nico's eyebrows furrowed.
"What? You found a way to survive even in Tartarus. You're one of the only demigods who ever has. I was kidnapped by two fame-craving giants. It was hardly heroic."
"Hey, don't do that." Will touched Nico's face, stared into his dark eyes.
"You survived you continue to survive. You've been through more in your 15 years than most people will endure in an entire lifetime.
Nico looked away, but Will knew this grumpy ball of darkness. His grumpy ball of darkness. And he refused to let Nico off the hook.
I don't always understand you, Nico, he said, but I do know that you're resilient. And in that sense, you are just like this garden.
Nico shifted uncomfortably.
We shouldn't be talking. Trying to be sneaky, remember?
Still, he didn't protest Will's assessment. He even sounded a tiny bit pleased. Will decided that was progress. Nico had been through a lot, but as Will watched the crystal petals floating to the ground from a nearby flowering tree, he felt a renewed sense of hope. This place seemed impossible, yet here it was, thriving in a land of darkness and sorrow. He supposed that darkness and life could coexist. Nico touched his shoulder.
I think she's gone inside. Let's move.
They followed the gem path through a grove of trees that looked like skeletal hands, which were both awe-inspiring and a little frightening. Each new sight took Will's breath away, like the velvety vines draped from the boughs of an amaranthine oak, or the veranda covered in moonflowers and surrounded by emerald prickly pears. Nico guided him toward the center of the garden, where a large orchard encircled a three-tiered fountain. A syrupy, sweet odor hit Will's nostrils.
What's that? He asked.
The pomegranate trees, Nico said. Manichis didn't specify what kind of fruit he wanted, so why not a palm? They're Persephone's signature fruit, after all. Will frowned.
If you eat one of Persephone's pomegranates, aren't you stuck in the underworld forever?
Pretty sure that doesn't apply to creatures who are from the underworld, Nico said. But even if it did, it might be kind of romantic, like sending a message, you're stuck with me.
I think we need to work on your definition of romantic, my love.
Nico's ears blushed.
Let's grab a couple of palms, then head back to the donkeys. Sound good?
When they reached the pomegranate trees, Will nearly lost himself in the beauty of their emerald leaves and glittering fruit, festooning the branches like ruby ornaments, just begging to be plucked.
Perfect, he murmured to himself.
Nico walked up to the nearest tree and grasped at a pomegranate. His hand went right through it. For a moment, Will thought he was seeing things, his head swimming from the heavy perfume of the trees. But then Nico tried again. Again. Again, each time his fingers went right through the fruit like he'd turned into a shade from asphodel.
What's wrong? Will asked.
I don't know, Nico hissed. This doesn't make any sense. He tried other pomegranates on different trees with no luck whatsoever. Will's nerves tingled. He thought about what Nico had said, how the fruit wasn't as dangerous for creatures from the underworld.
Have you ever actually picked one of these before? He asked.
Nico scowled.
Well, no, I was just given some seeds.
Will looked at the red fruit hanging above him. Maybe they were meant to be picked only by potential victims from the world of sunlight. He gulped and stretched out his hand. His fingers grazed the smooth, cool rind. The fruit was so large it barely fit in Will's hand. He pulled. The pomegranate came off the branch with a gentle snap. Will was filled with the urge to dig into its flesh, to seek out all the juicy seeds and devour them. Will! Nico's voice shattered the spell. The son of Hades looked as if he was immediately going to leave mortality behind.
How did you do that?
Will shrugged. I just picked it.
Well, don't eat it. Pick a few more and let's get out of here.
Will grabbed another pomegranate, tucked it under his arm, then plucked a third and turned to hand it to Nico. Nico shook his head.
If I can't pick them, I suspect I can't hold them either.
He opened one of the pockets of his leather bomber. Can you do the honors? Will stuffed one pomegranate into Nico's jacket pocket, then slipped the other two into pockets on his own shorts.
Oh my gods, said Nico. I can't believe your cargo shorts are coming in handy.
Will beamed. Told you so. Nico didn't waste any more time. He grabbed Will's right hand and pulled him along, retracing the route.
Every time they came to an intersection on the path, Nico froze, carefully inspecting their way forward.
Will's heart was pounding. He was both afraid and a little exhilarated. He felt like a little kid again, running through the aisles of the New York Public Library on 42nd Street and 5th Avenue, while his mom tried to catch up. If only she could see him now, dashing through Persephone's garden. Near the gate, Nico let go of Will's hand. "I'll make sure the coast is clear," he whispered. Then he slipped past the bottle brush plants and out the gateway. Will waited, anxiety coursing through his veins. He heard something rustle in foliage up ahead and thought, "Please let that be Nico." The figure stepped out from behind a thick bush of pink oleanders. It wasn't Nico. It was her.
Chapter 24. Will didn't move. He couldn't have moved, even if he wanted to. He was transfixed by Persephone's beauty. She raised a finger to her lips. Her eyes were the rich brown of freshly tilled soil, ready to burst into a million colors. Will couldn't turn away. He was mesmerized. He was also afraid. His heart pounding fiercely, he glanced over at Nico, hoping he'd tell him what to do. But Nico was frozen, crouched in a sneaking position, still as stone.
"Look at me, son of Apollo." Her voice, oh gods, it was sweeter than the scent of the pomegranates.
Will gulped and faced Persephone. She brushed a strand of her dark brown hair out of her face. As she drifted forward, Will's mind and heart clashed. He felt he should run away as fast as he could, but he was also drawn to her. She was vibrant, shining, alive. She was so unlike everything else here.
"How are you doing this?"
Will said, his voice full of awe.
"I can do many things."
Persephone was now just a few feet from him, especially here in my garden. She stepped closer until her nose nearly touched his,
"in which you're currently trespassing."
Will sucked in his breath.
"I can explain. It's important what we're doing." "And what is that exactly?"
Will found it terribly hard to pull his gaze from hers. Should he tell her the truth? Lying to gods was usually a futile exercise. And in this case? Well, he and Nico had been caught red-handed in Persephone's garden.
"I can see the gears turning in your demigod mind," Will solaced.
Persephone pointed to the bulging pocket on his cargo shorts.
"I obviously know you're stealing from my garden. The question is why?"
"It's a quest," he said. "We need fruit from your garden to progress to the next part." Persephone frowned.
"And I assume my husband has not assigned said quest."
No. Will gestured at his companion. "Nico could probably explain it better if you'd just free him."
"But I'm talking to you, son of Apollo," she said, annoyance crossing her face. "Besides, you are dating my stepson. Am I not allowed to speak with you?"
Will gulped.
"No, yes, of course you're allowed to." "So now Will Solace is telling me what I'm allowed to do in my own garden."
Will thought he was going to pass out.
I'm not.
"Relax, demigod." Persephone smiled. And suddenly the whole garden seemed warmer. "Some of us still have a sense of humor, and I like to use mine from time to time." Will couldn't relax, though. Persephone began to pace around him, and if he wasn't currently in the underworld, he would have wondered when the bright overhead lights were going to flick on. This felt like an interrogation.
"You know," she continued, "I haven't always treated Nico as he deserves to be treated. It was hard for me to look upon him. His very face reminded me that Hades had betrayed me and had a child with someone else."
Persephone maintained her smile, but it did not reach her eyes.
"We gods can be very jealous, you know."
Will nodded, afraid to speak.
But over the years, and especially recently, I have had to re-examine my perception of Nico. He is, well, he is not always what he seems. There is more to that boy than what I saw on the surface. Despite his galloping nerves, Will found his voice. I know that, he said. It's been the best part of knowing him, how often he surprises you. But do you see the depths within him? She gazed intently into Will's eyes. Do you realize who he really is? Yes, he said, though he hadn't intended for it to sound like a question. I mean, he's a very complicated person. Persephone raised an eyebrow. Even that small gesture sent a jolt of terror through Will. But, she said, I sense you want to say more. How did you know that? Did you know he was thinking about how being with Nico wasn't always easy? The words tumbled from his mouth. How do you do it, Persephone? Do what? Love someone from the underworld. This time she actually looked surprised. That is quite the question, son of Apollo. I'm sorry, he said, raising his hands. If you'll just let Nico go, we'll return the fruit and leave, and you know love is a difficult choice, right?
His hands fell.
What?
Oh, certainly there are people in this world for whom love comes easily or abundantly. It is instantaneous, like it was for Narcissus.
Sure, said Will, but I...
And there are, of course, those who experience no romantic feelings whatsoever.
Right,
but no matter what form love takes, no matter how much or how little you have, you must still choose to cultivate it. In friendships, in romantic relationships, in life?
He frowned. But that doesn't really answer my question. Plus, didn't Hades kidnap you?
Comparing your situation with mine will not be very helpful, she said. You are right, I was brought here against my wishes. I only came to love this place, and Hades too, after I began to appreciate the time away from my mother.
Demeter, said Will.
If someone ever tries to force you into a relationship, I highly recommend running far, far away.
That is not love, Will. My circumstances were unique, and in that uniqueness, I found something I did not expect. But there are aspects you may relate to.
Persephone sat down on a carved jade bench next to the oleander bush. She patted the space next to her. Will glanced at Nico, still frozen in the gateway. He imagined his boyfriend thinking, "Oh, sure, take your time. Have a nice chat with my stepmom. I'll just stand here." Then, not having much of a choice, Will joined the goddess.
It was an adjustment, Persephone said, staring out at her garden. When I came to this place, I missed the sun, as I'm sure you do too.
So much, he said. I don't think I've ever been this long without it. Beyond that, though, I had to reconsider everything I believed. She went on, about light and dark, about life and death. At this, she gestured to Nico. He has all those things within him, just like his father. It took me too long to see it because I was blinded by jealousy. But I already know all that, said Will. I don't think Nico is just one thing.
Persephone seemed to ignore him at first. A god or demigod so surrounded by death, they seem to appreciate life more than anyone else. They understand it, even if they don't always drift toward it.
Her words hit him like the Gray Sisters' taxi.
You think so? He said, because sometimes Nico doesn't seem like that at all. That is because you and I are creatures of the daytime, creatures of the light. It is sometimes very hard for us to see and appreciate the darkness.
Appreciate the darkness?
Persephone rose and crossed to a large flowering tree. She plucked an illuminated pink flower with long elliptical petals. It's beautiful, is it not?
Will held out his hand, and she passed it to him. Once it touched his palm, the petal slowly opened, and he gasped. In the center of the flower, there was a stone,
pitch black, so dark that it seemed like a shard of absolute nothingness. These are a special breed of night-blooming Sirius, Will, explained Persephone. I grow them because they only open in the presence of darkness.
Darkness?
His eyes widened suddenly.
In me?
Yes, absolutely. Do you think that because you are a child of Apollo, there is no darkness within you?
I guess not, he said, examining the stone in his hand.
There cannot be light without darkness, nor darkness without light. You must have the contrast for both to exist.
She helped Will stand, and he passed the stone back to her.
But with Nico, it's hard, Persephone. I want the best for him, and he seems to disappear into his darkness, like he's hiding in a place where he doesn't want my light.
Then why not offer him your darkness?
It was a simple question. But once again, Will felt like he'd been knocked flat. He stood there, slightly ashamed that he had not considered meeting Nico on his own level before, and also frightened about what it might mean to do so.
I cannot tell you how to love someone, Will.
For the first time, Persephone sounded sympathetic. But as I said before, it is a difficult choice. You have to choose to continue loving someone. Feelings aren't enough.
That's a lot to think about, he said sheepishly. What if I'm not ready?
I can answer that with a question.
Do you understand, Nico?
He gazed into Persephone's eyes, then looked back to Nico, who was still frozen.
Not completely, said Will, turning back to Persephone. I've never met anyone like him, but I want to understand him.
The goddess of springtime smiled, and Will felt like the sun was beaming down on him.
You and Nico will make a fine couple, she said, as long as you keep trying to understand. Will dug his hand into his cargo shorts pocket and presented one of the pomegranates.
Here, he said. I'm sorry we took this.
Keep them. A gift from me for the two of you, she winked. But don't tell Nico I said that. Let's just keep this little interaction between us. Persephone stepped behind the oleander and was gone in an instant. Will heard a rustling to his left, turned, and saw Nico waving at him.
Psst, Nico hissed. What is it? What are you looking at?
He shook his head.
Nothing, thought I saw something. Then come on.
Will hurried to Nico, his mind still reeling from what he'd experienced.
Offer him your darkness.
The words unfolded inside him like serious petals.
You sure you're okay?
Nico asked. You look like you just saw a daimon.
I'm fine, Will said, and he was surprised to find that he meant it.
He kissed his boyfriend on the cheek.
Let's get back to Menites before someone catches us.
They climbed on their donkeys and burst into a gallop, leaving Persephone's garden and Hades' palace behind.
Chapter 25.
Nico was staring at a very odd scene. Menites leaned against one of his nectar trees, laughing so hard tears streamed down his face. Screech Bling stood next to him, staring into the distance like a nervous mom waiting for the school bus. Down in the pastures, a herd of black cattle seemed to be doing marching band maneuvers, pinwheeling, prance-stepping, and reforming columns in perfect synchronization. In front of the bovine troops stood a tiny figure in a foam cheese wedge hat, His Majesty waving a tree branch like a baton. When Nico's and Will's donkeys came to a stop, Menites didn't even acknowledge them. Instead, he cupped his hands around his mouth and yelled to His Majesty, "Amazing! Now bring them back!" His Majesty clicked a series of commands in troglodytish, and the entire herd marched double time toward the orchard. Nico hopped off his donkey.
What's going on?
Menites wiped the tears from his eyes.
Turns out that little troglodyte has a knack for herding cattle.
They have many talents, Screech Bling agreed, his face alight with joy.
And the cattle churn up many tasty grubs and worms from the soil as they march. It is a win-win.
Manitis and the Trog CEO gave each other a complicated fist bump / secret handshake like they'd been friends for years.
We were productive while you were gone, Manitis told Nico. Did you get what I asked for?
Nico slowly reached into his pocket. He worried his hand would drift right through the pomegranate, as it had in his stepmother's garden. But his fingers touched a very solid fruit.
What was that about? He wondered. Why couldn't he touch the fruit in the garden, but Will could?
When Nico brought out the pomegranate, Manitis' eyes gleamed with hunger. His jet-black tongue flicked across his lips.
Just one?
He asked wistfully. Will produced the other two.
Three!
Manitis sounded like he was about to burst into tears.
That is more than I expected.
And then he opened his mouth and threw in the first pomegranate.
Wow, Nico said. So you're not worried about being stuck here forever?
Why would I be? Manitis let out a loud burp. I love it here. I don't ever want to leave, and I'm sure Jirian will feel the same. We would never be accepted above ground. Where would people like us fit in? I have a job here that I like a lot. I'm in love. Why would I ever want to throw that away?
Will stared wistfully into the distance. But you're not worried about what you might miss out on in the mortal world? Manitis grunted.
Every so often, sure. But I've been working for Nico's father now for a long, long time. This is what I'm accustomed to. It's where I feel at home. And it's where Jirian is.
Nico felt a chasm opening in his heart. He loved what Manitis had just said. But what was this aching sensation? Was Nico envious of the bull man? Nico knew that for practical reasons, Will would never offer to stay here for him. That was fair. The underworld had been negatively affecting Will since they'd arrived. But there is something about Manitis' confidence in Jirian that felt distant to Nico. Out of reach. Nico's fingers found their way into the pocket of his jeans, where they traced the image embossed on the coin. Maybe he was overthinking this. Maybe the underworld was starting to wear on him, too. Meanwhile, Will was telling His Majesty and Screech Bling how he and Nico had managed to sneak into Persephone's garden. Will did a great job making it sound much more suspenseful than it was, dialing up the tension as though they'd come much closer to getting caught by the goddess. He looked genuinely nervous.
I am impressed, Manitis turned to Nico. I know you have complicated feelings about Jirian, and I must admit I do not blame you, but still, you got this fruit. At great danger to yourselves.
We kind of had to, said Nico. You know, the whole quest thing.
Manitis shook his head.
You could have retrieved just one pomegranate, or you could have unearthed an entire skeleton army and forced me to let you pass.
Nico rolled his eyes.
Now you're just being dramatic. I could still summon some skeletons if you like, though.
Manitis gave a hearty laugh.
You are a funny one, Nico. Maybe the funniest of Hades' children.
Hazel's pretty funny, Will offered.
Nico elbowed him in the ribs.
Regardless, Manitis continued, I would like to offer you something besides just safe passage through my land. I can provide you with information.
Nico's pulse jumped.
What information?
About your quest, of course, said the bull man. I know what you're up to. You're not the only one hearing his voice calling from Tartarus.
Nico was pretty sure what was left of his soul had evaporated out of his body. I'm sorry, what?
Many of us down here can hear him from time to time, said Manitis. He is loud, sorrowful. We learn to tune out those who are suffering because we have to. I mean, the fields of Asphodel and punishment are basically white noise to me at this point.
He sighed.
But he's different. Because, well, he's not dead. He's a living being in terrible pain.
calling out, aching to be listened to. Rage swept through Nico, so encompassing and intense that it wasn't until Will cleared his throat that Nico realized he was summoning multiple skeletons from the ground. He let out a deep breath, and they collapsed into heaps of bones. "Sorry," he said. "I just hate knowing Bob is in pain."
"I do too," said Manitis. "Bob is pretty legendary around these parts. What he did for Percy and Annabeth, those of us who care about the underworld, and what happens in the mortal world won't forget that. But after that incident with the Doors of Death, we are all prohibited from entering Tartarus, so none of us can go confront her."
"Her?" said Will. "You mean..."
"Nix." Maniti spat on the ground. "She's obsessed with Bob. He represents everything she hates."
"That's what we figured," said Nico. "I met her once, a while ago."
"I hope I never meet her," said His Majesty, shaking their head. "She sounds terrible."
Manitis's head drooped.
"Nix believes that what is born in darkness must remain in darkness. The problem is, Bob willingly chose to remain Bob rather than return to being Iapetus. That is why she has detained him."
"Detained him? How?" asked Will.
Maniti stared into Nico's eyes.
"Do you remember your time in Tartarus?"
Nico winced. "Unfortunately."
"Do you remember the regeneration blisters?"
"I always thought of them as zits."
Maniti snorted.
"That is appropriate. Being inside one is rather like drowning in a boiling whitehead."
Will clutched his stomach.
"Thanks for that."
"It is an experience most monsters and demons have had," the bullman continued grimly. "At any rate, a few weeks ago, a demon who worked with me got trampled to death by the cattle. This, in itself, was not a big deal. He just regenerated in Tartarus and clawed his way back here. But while he was down there, he saw Nix standing over a very large regeneration blister, berating the entity inside who was trying to be reborn, telling him he would never break free until he relented. It was Bob."
The two Trogs yelped in horror and hugged each other. Nico had to clutch Will's shoulder to keep himself steady.
"No, that's too cruel even for Nix."
"I'm afraid it's true," said Manitis. "Nix is holding Bob in a permanent regeneration cycle until he chooses to become Iapetus again."
Nico's fury rose again. But Will blessed, illuminating Will squeezed his hand. A radiant calmness passed up Nico's arm and spread into his chest. The kind act warmed Nico, both in the literal and the figurative sense. But then he began to worry. "Will, you need to conserve your energy.
I just thought you might need the reminder."
"Of what?
That I'm here? That I know you're upset?"
Nico pulled Will close, still vibrating with residual anger.
"I didn't mean to raise the dead. I'm just so mad."
"You should feel what you need to feel," said Will. "I don't want to diminish that. I don't even know Bob, and I'm furious, too."
Nico stared at Will. "Wow, where had that come from?"
Screech Bling clicked and hissed in outrage.
"What is happening to Bob is wrong. No one should be treated like that. And for Screech, what? Having the courage to change?"
His Majesty nodded.
"We troglodytes love to adapt. We are always changing. For example, who knew that I would love herding cows?"
They glanced at Will, clearly hoping for approval, and were rewarded with a beaming smile.
"I doubt there's ever been a finer cowherd with a finer cheese hat," Will said.
Then he turned to Manitis, and his expression hardened again.
"So where do we find Bob?"
"Yes, that is the information I wanted to give you," said the bullman. "Deep in Tartarus, there is a hut that belonged to a reformed giant."
Will frowned.
"You mean like Jirion?"
Maniti seemed to consider that.
Yes, I suppose so. This giant is well respected here in the underworld, for he opposed the Meonian dragon and helped the demigods close the doors of death.
Percy mentioned him, said Nico. Damison?
Yes, that is the giant. When you emerge in Tartarus from the troglodyte shortcut, follow the trail to the left until you reach the swamp. There you will find Damison's hut. And once you do, Bob should not be far away.
Manichis gave Nico a somber look.
I hope Damison has regenerated. He was killed fighting the dragon. But if he has been reborn, I am sure he would love to help you.
We'll do our best to find him, said Will. Screech Bling adjusted his powdered wig. We should leave soon, demigods. The shortcut is not far.
Make sure to refill your nectar before you go, added Manites. You will find no more of it where you're going.
Thank you, said Nico. For helping us. You didn't have to.
Manites shook his head. I did. And not just because you brought me tasty pomegranate. We can't let Nyx get away with torturing Bob. What if this is just the start of her tyranny?
His words dug under Nico's skin. He hadn't even considered that Nyx might be torturing others down in Tartarus. Nico knew she was setting a trap to kidnap and torment him, and possibly Will, too. That was one thing. At least they were choosing to face that danger. But other entities who were just trying to be reborn, maybe to change into something better. Nyx had no right to make them suffer. For the first time, Nico wished the prophecy had been longer. All it warned was that someone would have to leave something of equal value behind. That wasn't enough. It could mean so many things. Nico had to stop the Goddess of Night, but he needed more clues about how to do it. He remained frustrated and nervous as the troglodytes guided them out of the farm. His last glimpse of Manites was the bullman's red-tinged silhouette, waving at them from the top of the hill. His cattle still standing at parade rest behind him. Soon the farm was lost in the gloom as the troglodytes led them into the stretch of dark hills, part of the underworld Nico had never visited. He had no idea what awaited them at the shortcut, nor what Tartarus would be like on his second visit. However, as Will walked alongside him, Nico worried most about what the Abyss would do to his boyfriend. Had this whole trip been a mistake? Should they have brought a third demigod like questers were supposed to? Nico walked on, full of questions, with no answers. The first time we kissed?
Will's eyes looked hazy and unfocused.
Yes, I remember. Why do you ask?
Nico forced down his growing sense of panic. Will's condition kept swinging from almost fine to ready to keel over, but the trend was definitely downward. If this kept up, they would never make it down the river, much less to Tartarus. Meanwhile, Gorgiera loomed over them on the dock. Nico tried to ignore the fluttering of the nymph's gown in the chilly breeze, the whisper swirling around him, yearning for more secrets.
Because the stories help.
Nico tried to sound confident. It won't take long, then we'll get in the boat and go. Will nodded.
Okay, well, if I remember correctly, it wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't, Nico agreed. Will watched Gorgiera drifting around them, like a teacher monitoring a test. He put a hand on Nico's leg.
We don't have to talk about this now, Nico.
Yes, said Nico. We do. The whispers from Gorgiera's gown reached out again.
You are so alone then. Will you be alone again?
Nico pushed them away.
It was after Jason died. He willed his voice to stay even, not to give in to the rising sadness in his chest.
Yes, said Will.
Just like with Leo, you were distraught but not angry. Not that time. You were more...
He sighed.
I'm not sure what to call it. I didn't know what to do.
The dock boards creaked under Gorgira's feet.
Do about what?
About me shutting down, said Nico. Like, completely. I wasn't even crying over Jason's death. It didn't seem real to me. How could he just be gone?
And Jason meant a great deal to you, yes? Said Gorgira. He was the first to truly accept you.
Exactly. And I wasn't there to help at the end. I couldn't save him.
Hot tears poured down Nico's face. He turned away from Will and Gorgira, suddenly ashamed by his display of grief. But the whispers followed him. Threads of loneliness and desperation wrapping around his heart, pulling him back.
You wish for him to return, they said. You resent that he left you. You are worried that this one will leave you too.
That last whisper was a punch to the gut. Nico sobbed because that was his biggest fear, wasn't it? That's what he worried awaited him at the bottom of the plunge. Will would die. Will would sacrifice himself. Will would be left behind.
I've got you,
Will said in his ear. Then his boyfriend's arms wrapped around him, holding him tight. Nico turned until they were face to face, staring into each other's eyes. Nico was supposed to be nurturing Will, not the other way around. But Will always seemed to know when Nico was most vulnerable. There wasn't pity in Will's face. Just concern, just care. Nico leaned forward and kissed him. It wasn't a long or particularly romantic kiss. Their lips met. Will reached up and held the back of Nico's head. It was brief. It was sweet. And it was what Nico needed. It was also exactly what Will had done for Nico that day outside the Hades cabin, shortly after they'd learned of Jason's death. Will had kissed Nico for the first time in a moment of impulsiveness, something Nico didn't know Will had in him. The kiss had been just like this one, short and sweet. Then Will had pulled away, worry on his face, an apology tumbling from his lips. Nico had stopped him, then kissed him back. In a moment so full of grief and rage and sadness, Will had given him light. Now Will pulled away.
I'm right here, he promised. For whatever you need, we have each other.
Nico didn't mean to laugh. It came out as a frail, brittle sound. Only a few days ago, he joked to Annabeth that her advice sounded like a Hallmark card. Now he felt like he was living in one. He was worried Will might take offense. Instead, his boyfriend only looked concerned.
What is it?
Will asked, wiping away Nico's tears.
Nothing, he said. I just...
He glanced over Will's shoulder, and his voice died. Gorgira now stood at the end of the dock, moving her hands as if working a loom. Below her, the river Acheron churned, threads of dark water weaving themselves together into a thick band, which Gorgira pulled toward her. Will turned to watch. He and Nico sat there, Nico's arm around Will's waist, as Gorgira gathered cords of woven water, stitching them into her dress. Only when the last thread disappeared into her gown did Nico realize what she was doing, rescuing lonely souls trapped in the river of pain, adding them to her collection. When she was done, her chest heaved with exertion. Her gown's fabric had turned cloudy, whispers filling the air as the older souls greeted the newcomers. Gorgira staggered under their weight. Instantly, Will and Nico rose to help her, their own problems forgotten.
I'm fine,
she promised, though her face was drained of color.
The souls called to me, and I had to help them. It seems your tender moment drew them here.
I'm sorry, said Nico.
No, it is a good thing,
Gorgira said.
Lonely souls finding one another is always a good thing.
She gestured to the boat.
She is yours.
You have more than earned her.
Take care of her. and she will guide you straight into Tartarus.
Nico's heart leaped, not because he was anxious to get to Tartarus, but because they might finally be making some progress.
Will shifted next to him.
But I didn't finish the story.
Gojira's smile was weak, but still warm.
I believe you just showed me.
The boat bobbed precariously as Nico climbed in. He hoped Will had good sea legs. The only ship Nico remembered spending a significant amount of time on was the Argo II, and that had flown more than it had sailed. This trip was with Will, though. That changed everything, even if their destination was the basement of the universe. Gojira watched them pensively as their boat drifted away from the dock.
What was she thinking? Did she believe that they'd make it?
Nico reached in the pocket of his jeans. He took out the coin, running his fingers over the embossing until he traced every bit of it.
You brought my gift,
said Will, smile lines crinkling around his eyes.
Great minds think alike.
He reached inside the collar of his shirt and pulled out his gold chain. On it glinted Nico's ring.